Yo, in this episode, we're going to be talking to my boy Danny, doing a little walk and talk about recovery, Jesus, and how not to let the world screw with your mind. Step meeting. How many steps are there?
500 steps. You know, being in my time of life where I had addiction problems and, you know, behavioral problems when I was younger, that I was the one that was in control, because of all the things that I have experienced in my lifetime, the demons that I have in my closet, you know, as far as drugs, alcohol. So I was in control of my life. Being brought up Catholic, altar boy, confession box, priest, going to the Catholic school, it became a fear that I was always doing something wrong. So I became the person that was in control of everything.
Acknowledging that there was a power greater than yourself was what kind of helped lead you into recovery?
Absolutely, absolutely.
I think that it's essential to recovery, is acknowledging that there's a power greater than yourself. If you miss that step, you might not use drugs or alcohol, but you're probably not going to have much joy about it.
Not at all.
It's what they call white knuckling it.
That's right.
Where you just holding on for dear life.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh,
right. I do love that about AA, that even though it's an essential principle, you know, it's not a condition of getting in.
Not at all. You know, through life growing up, being sent away to a children's home when I was early age, I was Christian based, born again Christian, and I was there for behavior problems. And I got there and it was strictly old school, where if you didn't get saved, you were going to hell. So I kind of like got a deal where, well, I don't know what to do. I was scared because I had no faith in God whatsoever, because I felt like God had let me down. Anytime anybody mentioned any word God or Jesus Christ, I ran.
Wow.
So, which kept my mind polluted, because I didn't know who to, run to. You know, everybody was telling me you got to run to God. Well, that word God was not my vocabulary. I ran. And eventually later on in life, going through the struggles of not having something to lean on as a power creator myself, I became the one that was in control. I don't know how many times I have faced these situations where I wanted to prove if there was really a God, then I'm gonna act out a certain way and see if he's gonna be there to save me. So going back to the situation where I was a younger age, I was born at, boarding school, this children's home. A lot of physical abuse, a lot of mental abuse. So it was like, okay, well, we're going to beat this out of you. If you don't believe in God, you're going to get switched.
Yeah.
You're going to get beat down. So at an early age, when I had left that place, going to the teenage years, I had to prove that I was the one that was in power. Whether it was with football, whether it was with girls, whether it was I was drinking the most beer at a keg party, anything. I had to override everybody else's because I wanted to be the one that was in control and be the power.
It's an interesting issue that we have as Christians, is that divisive nature of sin and Jesus. And sometimes I just think the way we present it is so black and white. Like in your case, it was black and white.
Yeah.
That there was no, where's the grace? Where's the love of God? And so it kind of, that method didn't help you any.
No, not at all.
Yeah.
But the crazy thing about this is that I knew at an early age there were signs, and I had the feelings of conviction that in order to me survive with the trauma that I have experienced in my life, that I always seen a church. And I always question myself, why is it that every time I go to a church, I start crying?
Mm.
So down and low and depressed, where I used to actually go underneath the railroad gate and go underneath it and just like push the limit to how close I can get to that train.
Ooh.
Several occasions. And just feel the wind going by me. And for some reason, I didn't put that extra foot into the train. So many situations where I proved that there was really a God, then prove it to me.
And well, and you're here right now, right?
Well, I'm here today.
There's the proof in the pudding, right?
I just knew there was something there.
Wow.
But it really, really fulfilled the belief that God had my back the whole time is when I went to a Christian program and I was prayed over and I was drunk in the Holy Spirit.
Wow.
Literally drunk. I felt like somebody put something in my drink, you know? And the guy said, no, man, that's the Holy Spirit working through you, letting you know, man, God's got your back. And from that day on, it's been unbelievable.
Have you been drunk this whole time in the Holy Spirit?
It's been many occasions where, you know, I've been drunk in the Holy Spirit.
Well, so you say something that's like, you know, the Spirit, that's an essential part of our faith, is the Spirit of God is alive in us. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is living in us.
That's right.
And I you know, it's hard to put in a video like this because people would be like, well, that's the crazy meter's going off.
Yeah.
But I mean, I'm sorry, but this is an essential part of our faith.
I act like Jesus Christ wanted me to act towards people. I act Christ-like. You know, it's not so much the promotion of what we do, it's the attraction that these guys are attracted to, another way of living, the happiness, the freedom of not having to wake up every day dope sick and having to commit a crime and then go to jail and then put despair on people's and families' faces and the heartache.
So, I mean, what's that look like practically? Practically, so you're not, you're just, you're looking at the way Jesus lived, the example he gave us, you're living that out, loving on these guys as they are, and what you, are you saying that you, they see that in you, and so then it in turn creates change in them?
I give them suggestions. But I let them know how I live. And that goes a long way. Because if anything can get sober, if I can get sober, you can get sober. So what I try to do is, you know, I try to get these young guys, especially young guys, not go through the misery and suffering that I had to go through.
So, there's this thing about recovery. Basically, if you want to get clean,
yeah,
you're going to get clean.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, so I've gotten kind of conflicting information on this. Like a friend of mine who goes to rehab, runs a rehab, said that even if a guy comes in there not really willing, it's forced in there, that he's seen them recover. So that's a guy that's not really wanting to get clean, but ends up getting clean because they learn, they pick it up. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But then you also hear this kind of, that, hey, if you don't want to get clean, you're not gonna. You're gonna go back out anyway. So, I mean, what do you think for a guy that kind of comes into a system? We're talking hypothetically, everybody's different, but a guy that goes into a rehab, what do you think is happens in there that makes him go, you know, yeah, I'm done?
It's fear, it's the environment that it's he's placed in. Whether he gets the trust that he feels he's trusted. I mean, there's a lot of fear that goes involved with this. You know, like I said, everybody's case-to-case basis. A lot of people, they come in there and they're done, they're totally done. They just surrender, I'm done. Then you got the ones that come in there, they're on the fence. They don't know whether they want to change because it has to do with a lot of work. You have to work on yourself. And a lot of people, they run away from that because it's too scary.
Yeah.
Then you got some people that are attracted to that new way of living, and they stay with it. Then you got people, it's like going to a meeting. That was a great meeting. That was a great fellowship meeting. And they're all high and feel good about themselves, but then it goes away. You know, the feeling goes away. And then the next day they're all shooting dope because they didn't concentrate and keep that foundation is what they needed to do.
That's a little bit like where Jesus talks about the seeds and the soil. Right?
That seeds. That seed's planted.
There you go. Some seeds will get planted in fertile soil and they'll grow, and some will get planted in soil where the thorns and the thistle will choke it out.
That's right.
Some go in rock where it doesn't even sink in. And so you're talking about, like, it's really the person in their kind of place where
that's
they're
right.
at.
That's right.
Yeah. What do you mean you keep your pain close? What does that mean?
It means I keep that suffering and that pain real close to my heart, because it allows me to keep motivating, striving to help out other people, because I can identify with the feelings of the suffering they had went through.
Yeah.
When you lose that vibe of the feelings of what you suffered with, then it's really hard to associate with anybody else with that mental and physical deposit you have with them.
Yeah, so you're saying, like, you can't forget.
You can't forget where you came from.
You can't forget.
You can't forget.
Right. That's one thing when I talk about AA to people who don't get AA, you know, and they'll say, well, why do you say, you know, hey, Joe, I'm an alcoholic, you know, and people will say, well, you're in Jesus, you're not an alcoholic, but one of the things it does is it reminds you, and it reminds everybody in the room, you know, why we're here, right?
You know, it's kind of like, you know, I'll commit sin all week, and I'll just go to church on Sunday, I'd be forgiven. Then I can start all over again on Monday.
Right.
You know, with this disease of addiction, just as I'm speaking to you right now, after all this we're talking about, I can leave today and go shoot heroin, because that's the way this disease it progresses. It's all in the center of your mind. If you're not spiritually fit in your mind, and you don't have the foundation, and you're grounded with that power, then you're bound to go back out.
Wow.
So every day is a daily reprieve. It's grace.
Yeah. I like that word, it's a reprieve. I forget that. I forget when I wake up in the morning and I go, oh, that's another day clean behind me. I mean, that's a win. And I forget it.
Yeah.
So much.
Yeah.
I had this realization the other day, I was talking to my wife. I told her, I said, you know, this is the longest I've been clean since I was probably 11 years old.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm 39.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's
so
amazing.
So when I start thinking of myself, I look at my life and I think, man, there's not enough money in the bank. I'm not far enough along in my career, X, Y, and Z. And I think all these things that condemn me, it's the reality that roots me back to say, hey, man, you, first off, you're clean.
Yeah.
You're loving your kids. You're loving your wife.
Yeah.
And you're only 5 years into this. So give it some time.
That's right.
Right?
You're still growing.
I'm still growing. Yeah. I met with a guy, a mutual friend of ours. He's got like 20 years clean.
Yeah.
And I was sitting there listening to him talk, and I was thinking in my head, man, dang, this guy's doing everything I want to do. And so I started to try to compare myself, but quickly I caught myself. I was like, you know what? Yeah, that's him. That's not me.
Yeah.
And I realized, hey, he got 2 decades in the game. You know what I mean?
That's right.
I'm just over half a decade. So it takes time. And I think that's the part of recovery that we forget. It's one day at a time, but it's all them days in a row that make it up, right?
I see people with 20 years or more, 30 years, go back out and drink and drug.
Wow.
Why? The question is, they forget, get complacent. You know, you have to do this every day. It's a daily reprieve.
Yeah.
Without that, you're bound. You might be miserable before the time you pick up again. But if you don't take that time out, just surrender on a daily basis, then, you know, the aftermath is not going to be nice.
Yeah. I just recently realized that I didn't need drugs to make me a crappy person.
because I was kind of a crappy person. And that's why I use drugs.
Yeah.
And I think for years I always this was like, it was because of the drugs that made me crappy. And realizing that, no, this is a condition, a human condition, right? This tendency to be selfish, to be self-centered, to want what I want, when I want, how I want. And realizing that has been huge, because it's allowed me to kind of understand myself a little bit, and also understand God.
Yeah.
Understand that He's loving me no matter what, even though I am on.
So I did this one minute Devo a while ago about, you know, everyone talks about addiction and drugs and alcohol. But what about this concept or this idea that you can become addicted to your own way of thinking?
Absolutely.
Right? You can control situations with anger. So you become addicted to being angry, because every time you get angry, you control a situation and the outcome comes out the way you want it.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that's why surrender is such a huge part of recovery. Right? We got to surrender to...
See, the thing is, though, you know, God gave us the power of choice. You know? Now, I can surrender on a daily basis, but I also can take that will back 1,000 times a day.
Yeah.
And depending upon how much I'm in control of the situation or the situation, you know, environment or whatever it's going on, the problem, and then it doesn't go well, is because I was in control of it. Yeah. You know?
Well, then you get to a point where you're not in control, the drug's in control.
Exactly.
The drug's controlling your every thought, you know? I can remember driving to the dope, man, and just telling myself, pull off the freeway, exit, just turn around.
Yeah.
And it just being like, can't do it. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
I remember when I was hooked on meth, I would do a line of meth and just be like, I don't want to do this. And I would do it, I'd lay down and catch a drain, I'd fall asleep. My body was just over it.
Yeah.
Wake up, spun out, you know?
Yep.
But it is. It's like you start because you want to be the one in control. But eventually what ends up happening is you end up losing control.
Absolutely.
Right?
You lose control of everything. So getting back to the sickness of our thinking, okay? I remember this dope hole in Harlem.
Wait, what's a dope hole?
A dope hole is a place where they sell dope out of. It could be an abandoned, you know, building, or it could be an abandoned house, or it could be any kind of type of place. And but this particular place was in Harlem, and it was a brick building, but there was a hole about this big, you know. And what you needed to do was, you didn't know who was on the outside, you know, inside that building, but you had the faith that if you put your money in the hole, you knew something was gonna come back out. You know? So, wow. It's like in recovery, you know? You have to believe in something in order to get the result. Yeah. You know, that's what we talk about in the chapter of Gnostic in the AA book. It talks, lack of power was our dilemma.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Having faith in something that's gonna get back and help you out towards life. You know, me going to that dope hole and putting my money through that hole and having the faith that something's going to come back, you know?
Right. You have faith in that.
I had faith in that because right. I knew the result was I was going to get happiness. What's is the false belief? You know, what's fantasy and what's real?
Yeah.
You know? And I think a lot of times a lot of people in addiction and recovery that they get that false hope. Because they don't see any gratitude of the situation they put themselves into, because they don't know what's going to come back at them.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like what I say is, I used to have hope. I'd hope the dope man had dope.
That's
I'd
right.
I'd hope he'd pick up the phone. You know what I
That's
mean?
That's right.
I'd hope I wasn't going to get caught.
That's
I'd hope
right.
I wouldn't get arrested.
That's right. That's right.
I had hope.
I had hope.
Is what you got your hope in?
I had hope in that dope.
Yeah, right, exactly.